We do have a few prayer requests this morning. First one is continue to pray for Jeff Hensley. He is in critical condition at OU Medical Center. And then pray Williams family has been battling illness for 3 weeks. Pray for the family of Keith Wilson. And then Natalie Griego asked us to pray for Christopher Job. And then Miss Natalie asked, what church does your guest go to?
Go to the Link.
And that is Pastor Brett
Brent Gifford.
Brent Gifford. Okay.
Okay, well, let's pray. Anything else for y'all personally? No?
Just continue to pray for my family as we walk through some stuff.
Okay. Tina?
I've got some family up north that could use prayer.
Okay, let's do it right now. Father, thank you so much, Lord Jesus. I say, Father, you're right here already. I'm not calling out to you like you're 100,000 miles away and I have to earn it, but I'm at the right hand. I'm saying, Father, you move on our behalf because Christ paid the price. Your love is ours because Christ paid the price. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. I pray for Tina's family. You know exactly where they are. I could say north, south, east, west, but you're right there with them right now in the problems, in the situations, in the good times and the bad times. You never leave. Your presence is always here. I pray that lives would be radically changed in Jesus' name, that your will would come to manifestation in them and they can see your presence and that your goodness will lead them to have passion for you like it has done for me. I pray for Monica's family, Lord Jesus, that all the things would begin to connect. All the things would begin to connect. That whatever drive, whatever motivation, whatever pressure we're putting on ourselves to pray enough for our family or to do enough to change them would leave. I pray that that would all leave. That only you would have your hand on these situations, God. Because we cannot do enough. We can give it up to you and thank you, knowing that you move for us. And then our prayers will be answered because we leave it up to you. Cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you. I pray for Jeff Hensley right now in OU. He's in critical condition. I am going to pray for restoration. I'm going to do it. If I weren't, I wouldn't be praying a prayer of faith. So, Father, I pray for restoration right now in Jesus Christ's mighty name. I'm at the right hand of the Father. I'm in Christ. So by the power of Jesus, be restored. I pray for the Williams family. Illness upon illness, upon stress, upon depression, all these things have nothing compared to the name of Jesus Christ. So I pray for healing. I pray for wholeness, undividedness, freedom from these things that are trying to change. I pray that their family would come with their hands raised above their head, broken, shackled, saying they have been freed by the blood of the Lamb. I pray for Keith Wilson, the family of Keith Wilson. Father, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm sure it's some type of hurt and pain. I pray, I ask in the name of Christ, which I sit, that that will become a footstool. Sit at my right hand till your enemy becomes a footstool. This will become a footstool to them, Father, and this will be something that projects them into a future part of their life. I pray for Natalie. She asked us that Christopher finds a job. A job is nothing to you, Father. I pray that he finds a purpose. God, a purpose in life. Something that he can drive for, strive for, and have passion about, God. That you would kindle something in him that is brand new. So, Father, I thank you for these things. I thank you that when we send it up, you're going to do it. I am not going to allow, and I pray no one here allows, that mindset of, well, I have to keep asking God over and over and over again. He is not the judge who doesn't fear God or man. He is our Father, and he moves immediately upon the things that we ask. So I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956. Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Nathaniel the Net Medina. Nathaniel. And his title is How to Reign in Life, Part 2.
Which we kind of got off topic by. Well, I guess it's just reigning.
We were building up to this.
Yeah,
part.
Hallelujah. We're building up to this, and thank the Lord Jesus, because there was a block here. I was just telling her, there was a block here in our conversation, but now that block has been removed, so praise the Lord. We're talking about how motivation of fear is wrong, and how we see God is something that's so vital on how we can live successfully. If we see God as a punisher, we're never going to get there, because we're always going to be in punishment. If we see God as a rewarder, then we can start to receive rewards. Not just a rewarder, because a rewarder seems something's done first to get. God did it, Christ did it, so we can get it. But a blesser. You did nothing, I'm going to give. I'm going to come to this. We're in Matthew or Luke 18. It's the parable of the persistent widow, right? A lot of people say this scripture is about keep on praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, right? I'm going to tell you it's about God being the exact opposite of that. And once we bring a request to the Father, he will give it to us. This is another account of God just being way more outside of your mindset than what you even think. So it says, then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, right? There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Does that sound like Christ? Does that sound like God to you? Or does that sound like a man? Now there is a widow in that city. Now are we a widow? Or are we the bridegroom of Christ? Are we the bride of Christ? Right? I'm walking you through it. Mm-hmm. This judge is the opposite of what God is. Right. This widow is the opposite of what we are. He is unjust. God is just. Not just, but a giver. We are not widows. We are brides of Christ. We're married to Christ, becoming one flesh. Okay, now let's move on. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But after a while, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Look at this. Me and my grandpa were just talking about this. I've always heard this as keep on asking God until you kind of wear him out and then he moves on your situation. Mm-hmm. He's saying, shall God not avenge his own elect? Not a widow, not an unjust judge. This is God and we're his elect who cry out day and night. He says, though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. We have to get our mindset on God is completely for us. Even so, when we pray, he's moving right then. Right then. When I say, hey, Father, there's a sickness in me. Will you remove it? Thank you. Boom. Because he's for you. He says that he will avenge them speedily. So if they say, no, they're saying the unjust judge, that's an example of God. Why would God be an unjust judge? First off, why would he say, you're going to wear me out? It's troubling me that you keep praying to me. And why is the widow compared to us when I'm married to Christ Jesus? When I am one flesh with him, meaning I am him, he is me. So now I receive all the benefits from him, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's saying that he will avenge them speedily. So get your mindset out that God is an unjust judge. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Why is faith a part of this parable here? Because your faith isn't, I'm going to keep on praying and praying and praying. Your faith is, when I speak to the Father, he moves on my behalf. Mm-hmm. That's your faith. God moves speedily upon my behalf. I am his son. Stop comparing yourself to this. There's another place in here that talks about, what's that? The man that's moving into the house, about the bread.
The neighbor,
yeah. I don't know where that is right now off top, so I'm just going to speak about it. It says that a friend comes and knocks on the door and says, hey, will you give me some bread? Some people, my company has come on their journey, and I have nothing to feed them, right? And what does the man say? No, go away. Me and my kids are laying in my bed. So the man knocks again, right? Mm-hmm. Then the man knocks again, right? And he said, look, he finally gave it to him because he was so persistent, right? That friend is not God. Jesus is the person knocking. You are the person who was on your journey. Now he doesn't have to knock to get into the house. You come to him. God gives him the bread and he gives it to us. It's anti-types of who God is. Why did he write this? Why did he write parables? He tells us so that people who don't have ears to hear, eyes to understand, won't. And the people who do will. We are already given things when we ask for them. We have to get our mindset out of that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then we get to the place of bringing it back to how we live upon our lives. If we're always living to beg and beg and beg God, we're never going to see results in our life. You're never going to see results in your life. And this is the same thing really about unbelievers. When we approach somebody and we're preaching the gospel to them, why are we putting weight on that gospel? Why are we putting requirements on this gospel? It's a free gift. I heard somebody say, God bless them. I heard somebody say, you can only have the Holy Spirit if you are obedient. It blew my mind. How in the world can I be obedient without the Holy Spirit? Right. How can I do it? How can I do it? And then it says, if you fathers would give fish, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a stone? If he asked for a stone, would you give him bread? Would you give him a stone? Fish, would you give him a scorpion? How much more will your father give to any of you ask the Holy Spirit? Any of you. Stop doing that to people, because what are you doing? You're having the wrong mindset of God, so you think your obedience is what's keeping the Holy Spirit. You think your obedience is keeping your salvation. Now you're implying that to other people. And now when somebody comes in and they're like, man, it took everything I had in me, but I came to church today. That will break your heart. It took everything that person had to get in church that day. And when they come into church, you say the only reason why you can have the Holy Spirit is if you're obedient. They automatically checked off the list. Well, God, I can't control myself. I guess I'm not worthy to get the Holy Spirit. And then they give up on their life. Now they're just sitting there in their demise, in their condemnation. I'm letting you know you cannot do right without the Holy Spirit. There is nothing good in you unless it is the Holy Spirit. So when we go to somebody and we say, hey, you got to get your life right. That's what you're telling them. Oh, that's not what I'm saying. Come to God as you are. But then what? You just automatically expected to have nothing on your list anymore? No struggles, no temptations, no trials? I'm saying the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can get you to live a good life. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is a free gift. When you're coming to God, what leads you to come to God? Christ says, no one comes to me unless my Father draws him near me. There's another place that says the Holy Spirit has to draw a man. Mm-hmm. God's already working on your behalf to come to him. And you can never do good unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life.
Right.
So I'm here to tell you, if you are coming to God, want to come to God, the Holy Spirit is on your side. You do not have to have obedience to have the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. If so, none of us would get the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And here's another thing. If you're going to say, well, you have to have obedience to have the Holy Spirit, that means every time you're obedient, you lose the Holy Spirit. So it's gone from you. So his promise of I never leave you or forsake you is wrong. How come Christ was forsaken on the cross, Tina? So we could not be forsaken. So now you're saying if I mess up, the Holy Spirit's gone from me. Now what? You're hopeless because you couldn't do right in the first place. And now people who come into who are fellow brothers and sisters, when they hear that, they think, man, I got to remain obedient. Now what? The pressure's back on us. Now you're taking your eyes off of God who's supplying your abundant grace and your gift of righteousness and your obedience and your freedom from sin. And now you're putting it back on the same person who couldn't do it before you came to God. And then you ask somebody, well, they're like, well, if you mess up, you can lose your salvation. I'm going to start on this. You can lose your salvation. Okay, well, tell me, have you messed up? Well, yeah, well, I repented and I asked for forgiveness. I had to repent. Okay, well, what gets you to the point of not coming back? Then you have to ask that question. And when did you do that? What stops you from going to that? Ask yourself the same questions you're putting on other people. Because a lot of the times, believers will come to Christ and put themselves on a pedestal. I'm here. I'm right with God because of my life. And inside they're burning. And then they go put that on somebody else who just needs the freedom of God. You need to stand fast in the liberty of Christ Jesus. How much more liberating is it to not have a cage over you anymore of sin? If I mess up, I'm done. What's your motivation then? Love. Man, he loved me at my worst. So I know now when I'm struggling a little bit, he's going to help me. Mm-hmm. It's a motivation. Though the righteous may trip, they don't fall because the Lord holds them by the hand. The righteous is a gift. Mm-hmm. He's holding my hand, right? So it's all receiving. And people use, work out your salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's all they quote. Continue. For it is God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me, Tina.
To me, that verse means mind your own business.
Mind your own business. And that.
Just wanted to throw that
mind
in
your own business. Yeah. What's the comma? There's a comma right after work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do according to his purpose or his pleasure. People so much forget that second part. We'll get saved on for it is God who works in you to will and to do according to his pleasure. And then once we're saved, we'll live off work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You never did anything to get your salvation. How can you do anything to keep your salvation? Right. Once you have your mindset on, I can lose my salvation, you live in fear. Once you have your mindset on, I can mess up enough to be separated from God, you've lost the battle. Now you're in condemnation. Now you're in the enemy's territory, and he can hold you. Go to church. I'm going to make you miserable for the rest of your life. You need to step out of, I can lose what God has given me, and you need to step into, this is a gift that can't be taken away. Now your grace is keeping you. It was what saved you. It was what fueled you, and now it's what's keeping you. You have to get your mindset off of, I can lose everything at any moment. Why would God give you a gift and take it away from you because of your behavior if he never gave it to you first from your behavior? While we were dead in our trespasses and sins, at our worst, he gave his life for us. If he knew that at our worst, he would give his life for us, how much more now that we're in this grace? Go back to your scriptures, Romans, Colossians, Galatians. Go back to your scriptures. Then when you get off the New Testament, go back to the beginning, go to the Old Testament. And then you want to say, well, how do I see God? How do I see God this way? Get in your book. What was Christ? The image of God, right? And what? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. The truth is, his death made you die to your sins. His resurrection made you live to righteousness. Stop letting anyone steal that from you. Stop applying the pressure you feel on yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. You're not going to lose it. Stop having your mindset of losing it. Keep your mindset on goodness, and then you can start to reign in life. Wow, I'm at the right hand of the Father? Christ is in me? So now when a sin comes into your life, this isn't me. Disassociate with it. It's not mine. I am Jesus Christ. He is in me. Not that I'm the Son of God, but he is in me. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're identifying with him now because he became our sin so we can be made righteous. The motivation of fear destroys. It's going to destroy you in the long run. That's why you see so many pastors falling off because they're putting the pressure on themselves. That's why you see so many people not coming to Christ because you're telling them they got to be obedient to have the Holy Spirit. You cannot do good unless God is in you. Mm-hmm. I mean, stop it. Please, for the love of our Lord Jesus, stop doing that because you're driving everybody away. Nobody can do it. You're making the expectations way farther than what God did. Mm-hmm. God brought the expectations to nothing. Just receive. You see what I'm trying to say here? Mm-hmm. It's too much pressure.
Stick to the simplicity of the gospel, stick in other words.
What is the gospel grace? It says, cursed be any man who preach another gospel to you. Mm-hmm. I say again, cursed be any man. It's a double cursing. And if you go back to that, what's a different gospel than the grace? It says, cursed be any man who preaches a different gospel to you other than the grace of Jesus Christ. So the true gospel is grace.
Yep.
And you're double cursed if you preach anything else. So that's why when you go and rub off your feelings on the other people, you feel cursed. Because now your life is being affected by what you're putting out. Because in your heart, you don't believe. It says, in my heart, if your heart believes, it's accredited to you as righteousness. Your mouth speak, it's accredited to you as salvation. You need to believe right in your heart. And what does happen when you believe right in your heart? Righteousness. So if you believe in your heart, you got to deserve it. You're never going to result righteousness. You're going to result punishment and condemnation. Then you're going to go speak that to other people. And now out of you comes a curse and into you comes a curse. And no one will be saved. You might have somebody walk up on a Sunday, but I guarantee you, if you put that motivation on them and that mindset, they'll be back getting saved again. And then they'll be back getting saved again because they think they can lose it every week. Mm-hmm. You are locked in, baby, forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. Christ died to sin once and for all. This is the gospel. Be rejuvenated.
Acts 2:17. In Acts 2, this is the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. It does not say, I will pour my spirit out on all who obey. I will pour my spirit out. It says, mm-hmm. I will pour out my spirit on all people.
All.
When God says all, he means all. So if you are if you feel a tugging, if you feel something inside you stirring, maybe, just maybe, it's his Holy Spirit inside you drawing you to him.
Come on. We have to keep that in mind. Just like she said, he poured it on all flesh. How does anybody come to salvation? By your own?
No, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit leads you to salvation. Mm-hmm. What brought you to church? The Holy Spirit.
The church bus.
Come on.
My grandma was praying 12 hours away.
Come on.
So the Holy Spirit led the church bus to our house.
Yep. And then y'all went because God was working through it all. And even through her prayers, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Mm-hmm. We literally have the Holy Spirit bringing you in, then salvation, and then the Holy Spirit keeps you in line and have your obedience, and then it's a gift of grace, and then it's a gift of growth, and then it's a gift of prophecy, and then it's a gift of tongue. It begins to just pour on your life. Once you stop putting a, when you start putting a limit on that, God can't work at all. And then you're doing this up and down. You ever notice how you're up and down, up and down? Because there's a cap to what God can do in your life. Well, God, I know I have to hit another level for me to receive these things. I know I got to be obedient enough to receive these things. That's why your life is like this. Mm-hmm. Because you're never going to get above that gap. God has an infinite plan for you. It's all about how you perceive God. You have to have the right belief of who God is for you to start reigning. You have to do that. And we have to get that out where you don't tell people who are not saved that they have to be obedient to get Christ. And then when you become a Christian, you have to be obedient for Christ to stay. You're never going to do it. You're going to lose over and over and over again. But the good thing about God is he don't leave you in your mess up. Never forsakes you when you mess up. Ever. Preach this to people. This was the power that brought me out of pornography. This was the power who brought me out of lust. That power right there. I won't leave you when you do wrong. I said, God, I'm doing it again. I wasn't even with God, and I was in my sin. And the devil said, you're disgusting. And God says, I love you. Mm-hmm. I said, what? How do you love me? That completely changed me because the goodness of God led me to repentance. I want y'all to pray to God. I want y'all to start seeing God for who he is. No limit on him giving. Once you put a limit, you're limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. You're putting a hat on you, and you can't go any higher. Stop putting limits on God. Stop putting human limits on a supernatural God. Start to receive from him. Believe that he's just all for you constantly. Success, financial success, health success, relational success, favor. In Acts, it says that the church went about having favor upon all from all men. This is an unlimited supply of goodness on your life. And once you cap that, it's done. And all you people who want to come to Christ, you don't have to be obedient to come and get the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit for free to those who ask him? Get the Holy Spirit. Know he's helping you. Know he's guiding you. Know if you mess up, you're still a Christian. Your feelings and your mess up doesn't change your standing with God. Because if it did, you would never be in your standing with God. Your standing with God is that you're holy and true and blameless, and he pours his spirit on all flesh.
Amen. Something that the Lord spoke to me when I was coming back, and I was on the roller coaster. Okay. Mm-hmm. He said, take that lid off that little bit you got. Mm. Take the lid off that little bit. Because I can do so much with just a little bit. I just need you to take the lid off.
Take the lid off.
So in closing, I would like to lead people in a prayer. Mm-hmm. A prayer that I was led to say. Mm-hmm. That really helped change and transform my life. If you feel like you've been capped, if you feel like you've been in a box, if you feel like God is limited, I assure you he is not. Mm-hmm. Please repeat this prayer after me. Mm-hmm. Lord, I know.
Lord, I know
that you love me.
That you love me.
Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Take this lid off my little bit.
Take this lid off my little bit.
And open it wide open to you, Lord. Here, Lord, take my little bit.
Take my little bit.
Take my little bit, Lord.
Take my little bit.
And use it for your will.
For your will.
Help me, Lord.
Help me.
Keep the lid off my little bit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I'm going to cram this in. Y'all love me. Let me cram this in. You remember the lady who got the oil that was about to die, her and her son, make the bread? Elijah said, go and get as many bottles as you can from your neighbors. If she would have continued to get it, they would have continued to supply. Mm-hmm. But she had to limit herself because that's all they had. But he used every single one of those. We have to enlarge our capacity for God. Father, enlarge my capacity, because if we cap our imagination, he never will be able to. What does it say? He is exceedingly abundantly able to do more than we can hope or imagine. We have to take the lid off, like you said, take the cap off of what he can do in our lives and really start. And that's going to give us a key to how to start seeing people. I mean, I wish that the enemy would have blocked that little first part, but he ain't got no power in Jesus' name.
The last part was pretty powerful. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come join us. Mm-hmm. You always bring a powerful word.
Man, Please, everybody vote or something. Tell them, give me 2 hours. If you would just give me 2 hours, I promise I'll give you something amazing.
Well, you got 2 hours, though. This was part two.
Maybe we need to do like a marathon, like marathon. They do on
that
TV sometimes,
yeah.
You know?
Like TBS used to do those 24-hour marathons.
Yeah.
That's the that way would to be do fun. It. Me.
That room in there is perfect for something like
and that's
that.
That's a nice room.
Yeah.
Let's believe for that.
I'm believing for that.
I'm believing for that.
And if I ask it, we'll come to pass.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Maybe we'll do a Saturday marathon.
Yeah.
Y'all should do it. I mean, when Tony y'all back, ask Neva.
Yeah.
Neva.
We love you, Neva.
We love you.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of the day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and our little brother in Christ, Nick Nathaniel the Net Medina.
Medina, hallelujah.
Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
Amen.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.